Turn with me to John, the 8th chapter. Today's topic or sermon is going to be on freedom. Subtopic is under culture. We have been set free from this culture that is plaguing our nation, plaguing the world. And when we're there, does anyone need a sword? I mean, I'll freely give mine up. I have the scriptures here. Yeah? That's containing your word, right? In your heart? Come on. There you go, brother. It's one of the things we're working towards. Having pew Bibles, but we don't have pews. Yeah, I know. I've had those offers. And I'm like, I don't think so, dude. God has delivered me from a hard seat. Praise God. John 8, starting in verse 31 through verse 36. Topic is freedom. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And he answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Surely I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. It's true. Are we truly free, or do we just cover up our sins and our bondages and pretend that we're free? That's the question. Okay? Are we free? If you are in Jesus Christ, you have already been set free. You just haven't come into that reality yet. Why did we become free? Because God's purpose is to make you and me, the church, the answer that this world is looking for. And that answer is us proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the answer. We are the vehicle and the vessel in which God has chosen. And because He has set us free, there should be no inhibitions to do His will. The problem is, we think freedom is to do our will. The problem in that is, that's why He came to die, because we've been living our will, not His. So if you look at your life, you can see how free you really are. Because God already knows. He wants to set you free. And He was here today, and he said the very same thing that He said to Holly, to me. They're only ankle deep. And He wants us to go deeper. Go deeper. And that's not just go deeper here on Sunday. Let's go deeper Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in preparation to go even deeper as we come together. Jesus states that if we abide in Him, if we live in Him and we do the things that He calls us to do, we will be free. Amen? Amen. And last week we had a tremendous opportunity, which four of our people participated in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And as I said to you, when we receive Jesus Christ, we only gain the right to become sons of the Most High. Or children of the Most High, excuse me. When we receive the Holy Spirit and the infilling, we now become sons and daughters, because only His children have the power. The ain'ts don't have it, it's the saints that have it. And some of the saints don't have the power, to much of the Father's chagrin. Jesus also poses the question for us to ponder, what are we saved from? What are we saved to be? What are we saved to do? And remember I did that teaching, you have to first learn to be before you get to do? The world teaches us the reverse. You do to be, because our identity is messed up. How do you identify with Jesus Christ? Do you identify totally with Him, or do you just Well, when I'm with the body of believers, I'm a Christian. And you've heard me say, I don't want you to refer to me as a Christian. That's what the world labels us. If you look at the early Antioch church, that's where it came from, little Christ. I don't want the world to label me as anything. I want the word of God in Revelations 1 through 3 to label me. He tells me he's going to give me a new name. I want that name. I don't want what the world has. That's fallen. It's less than what I have. And if I am free in Jesus, I can seek him to find out what he calls me besides him calling me his son. And so what we have to do is begin to really examine ourselves, because what is at stake is not your personal preferences, your wants and desires, your new life that you're carving out for yourself. What is at stake is the culture of this nation, the values of this nation, which was founded upon the Word of God. And how insidious this plan from Satan is to encapsulate us and enslave us once again. What is the definition of freedom? Freedom is liberty, independence, self-determination, sovereignty. It means to be free, uninhibited, unconstrained, unrestrained, unrestricted, liberated. It's what freedom is. It has nothing to do about who I am. It has everything to do with what he's done. What he has done for me, he has done for you, and he has done for the world. He has set the world free. We need to just go and tell them that they're free. We need to understand that when we became empowered by his Holy Spirit, that when we became the sons of God, the Word of God is now brewing inside of us. The Holy Spirit is cleaning all the junk out of our lives and trying to get us to understand that those things that we hold on to, that we value so much, is actually an inhibitor to the kingdom of God being progressed in your heart and out of you. Can you say that you're free? When you resist what the Holy Spirit wants to do, not only in you, but through you. Jesus said that a sign of his disciple was that we abide in him. Do we live in Jesus Christ? I can't answer for you. I have to answer to him. And for me to live for Christ means I have to die. I have to die to my wants, my desires, my wills. Do you think I chose this? I didn't choose it. I actually ran from my calling for about the first 4 or 5 years. I apologized for my calling a couple years after that. I was warming up to the idea that the Son of God died for me and gave his life for me that I may receive his life to do what it is that he wants done. Some of us are struggling with things that God has told us to do. Some of us have struggled in being obedient to those things. Some of us have started well, but we have fallen to the side. I'm here to tell you that God's not done with you. I'm here to tell you that even though you're walking through a dry place, you're here because he wants to refresh you and take you further than you ever believed you could. I told you last week, God is not here to put a thumb on us. He's here to inspire us to do greater things than we could ever ask or imagine. And we may be in a place right now where we don't see clearly what he has obtained us for. But we need to press through this. Jesus died that I could live. Jesus died to give birth and life to his church, of which all of us are. And there is a difference that we need to understand is that, am I in bondage? Which kind of bondage am I in? Remember I've said it's first the physical, then the spiritual? That's the example. But the reality of how we live, because we're spiritual beings, we're supernatural beings, it is always the spiritual that will affect the physical. And if your belief system doesn't line up to what the Word of God says, you're in bondage. Because that's unbelief. And Jesus set you free to believe greater things than you could ever believe in your life. I never thought God would call me to be a pastor, prophet, and changing my ministry into an apostolic ministry. I never dreamed that. But what He's done, because I pursue Him and chase after Him, He has shown me that what He is going to do has never been done before in the world. It's something new. What He's calling into my life and into Streams' life, and we've had a prophet in here who has prophesied there are going to be many mantles laid out here. There are fivefold mantles that are waiting to be incubated, nourished, and released to do their functions in the body of Christ. And it's starting here. If you want that, then lay it down. Lay down everything else that encompasses you and takes your desires away from the things of God, and start believing what He says through His Word. Many today erroneously believe in the body of Christ that they are free to do their own will and to believe certain aspects of truth. It's either all or nothing. Did Jesus say? And you guys are always tested by me. What's God saying to you? Because when I say that, I'm actually taking your spiritual temperature. See, I'm letting my secrets out now. Hypothetically, guys are finding me out. I'm abusing my old material. You see, what He is trying to do in the church, that Satan is successful, is that when we get a little bit of truth, we want to start another denomination. And that's worked through church history. Because the preceding truth that was revealed by God through the Holy Spirit always persecutes the next move of God. And what is happening right now, not only is the body of Christ being persecuted, but the move of God in churches like ours is also being persecuted, because we've caught the revelation that God wants to unite His church. I told you this last week, I had this conversation with this individual, and they're saying, Pastor, you know, we need God to raise up somebody. We need somebody to really get us out of this mess. I said, He has. He's already done that. And he looks at me and he says, who is it? I said, it's the church. It's the church. We got to stop fighting with one another. We got to stop being prejudiced to each other. We got to stop thinking that we're better than anybody else. I've told you a long time ago, if you constantly compare yourself to each other, you missed it. You must compare yourself to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. He will humble you by His magnificence. I am not speaking about freedom from being a slave of sin. I am speaking in different realms, and hopefully you can catch it. I don't want you to think that freedom from sin and freedom from the fear of eternal death is what Jesus set us free for. That's what He set us free from. He set us free to do the will of the Father. As it is done in heaven, must be done on earth. That's what He's planning on doing. And we need everybody. We don't need any more feel-good messages. We got enough of them. It has lulled the church to sleep. You need men and women who are anointed by the Holy Spirit to tell you the truth of what's going on in the land and what is going on in the body of Christ. Let me give you a little prophetic understanding as to what is happening right now. The strategy of Satan's plan, his ultimate plan, is bringing Antichrist to rule this world. That's his end game. He wants to enslave everyone. And he will do whatever he needs to do to lie, steal, deceive us to make that happen. And God says he's going to help him. He's going to cause great delusion to come upon the land. Because, you know, he's tired of trying to get people first to believe that he's real. He's tired of trying to get people to understand that you're only on this planet for a short time. And he's tired of people doing their own thing and forsaking what he wants done. Satan, in order to bring Antichrist to power, must create a one-world system. We call that a one-world government. He wants to have dominion over this world. And he needs to kill the Jews, and he needs to kill the Christians, and he needs to kill anybody and everybody that is in opposition to this plan. In order to have this government come in, he must educate, I call brainwash, generations into believing in the centrality of an Antichrist government is the answer instead of God as the answer. Government is to help. Government is not to usurp the place of God. And we need godly people in those positions. In order to brainwash these people, what he does, and I see this void very clearly in us preparing our generation of kids going to college because they don't know the Word of God. And what happens is this liberal humanistic mindset attacks them, belittles them, accuses them in such a way to shut them from speaking. We're at fault. We, the leaders of the church, are at fault because we are to train all of God's people. The other way that he works through in his re-education and redistribution of the wealth of a nation is, first of all, you have to understand his plan is to overwhelm a God-fearing system. How he overwhelms that system is through, well, his tactics are very clear. We see it in Scripture, and it's played out through history, is that, first of all, they spend more than what comes in. And then what they do is they tax people so that their level of living is diminished ever so slowly to make people believe that this is normal. Do you not understand this is against the covenantal relationship we have with Jesus Christ? Poverty is not to be spoken of for the child of God. We have to understand that this humanistic elitist mindset is against God because it's prideful and arrogant. It really believes that in controlling the masses by imprisoning them through heavy burdens of taxes, that what is created is a debt burden that I have problems with my debt. Think about $17, $18 trillion for this nation. Because people have a mindset that once the coffers are open, I'm entitled to this. And that was not what our God-fearing founders wanted and tried to keep us from. Because this mindset is arrogant, you couple it with the silver-tongued ability to blame, to lie, to misdirect, and even deflect from answering direct questions. Their answers bring confusion to the realities of society's problems and always blame somebody else for it so that they can direct themselves that we're fixing this. All the while to bring forth incrementally this one world system, and they profit at our expense. You see, when we're taxed, why isn't anything ever solved? You look at every nation that has had ungodly headship and an indebtedness, and problems are never solved. They're just pushed to the side. Those of us in Jesus Christ know who it is that can solve every problem. And we must reflect that lifestyle to bring Him glory and to reveal to them there's another way. As I said, poverty is not one of the things that God has destined for His people. Neither is sickness. He has promised us long life. He has promised us to be fruitful in all that we say and do. He has promised us harmony. He has promised us good things. He has promised to bless us to 1,000 generations. He has promised to remove the curse from us. He has promised to fight against the devourer who wants to take away everything that we have. And yet, we don't want to do it His way. You see, humanism says that all charity comes from a centralized government. You have a need, go to the government. And I would sit there and argue with people and say, what did we do before this became vogue for the nation? Well, what do you mean? I said, I remember when doctors used to come to my house when I was sick, or somebody, family member was sick. I remember there wasn't insurance. That if something happened, you took it on the chin. You became responsible. And what has happened is because we think we're entitled to it, people believe that let the government be responsible. I'm free to do my own thing. Is your freedom worth so little to fight for and to succumb to the deception? And what I'm trying to get you to understand is this is the culture that is out there that is creeping into the church. Do you not know Antichrist has people in the pulpit really promote government? Really promote the things that cripple the body of Christ? They truly believe and preach a gospel that says it's okay to be poor. Because when we get to heaven, we'll have everything that He has and we'll be just like Him. Why wait till then? God wants to give it to us now. You just need to do His will to do it and to receive it. Believing is one thing, obedience is another. When we're oppressed by indebtedness, the taxation comes in and produces lack. We see in this nation the abuses of taxation, overtaxation, has produced a lack. What lack is that? A lack of making a living for oneself. More and more people are working 2 and 3, 4 jobs just to live the American nightmare. It's the truth. Businesses are closing because people don't have any money. And so that puts another burden on us because now we need to subsidize those individuals. Where is the body of Christ? We're barely getting the understanding that it is the church's responsibility to take care of the priesthood. And we're not there yet. Because we still want to work into this thing. We still want God to bless our family. We still want to sing hallelujahs all the day long. But the fact of the matter is, you can't receive a blessing from God unless you're willing to give and become that blessing first. You can't receive until you give. You remember the teaching where I said about blessings? Word to God. Give me, bless me, God. And you need to release it and give it away. And we had a word spoken to us. As long as Streams is generous, God will continue to bless us. In spite of all the shortfalls, all the problems we've gone through, God has proven himself faithful. And we will continue to work in that way. Now, being in Christ and citizens, I've told you we have dual citizenship. We are seated with Christ where? That's our reality. That's our position. And we should focus on what he provides for us there to bring it here. We need to stop these infantile prayers of, God, bless me, bless this family. God, what is your will? What do you want to do here? How do you want to use me? That's a kamikaze prayer. Because it's going to kill you to do it. That's the truth. And some of us are playing catch up. We've been playing this game that of musical chairs with Christ. And the only thing that we found is we're chasing our tail. Christ is sitting in a chair. And he's waiting for you to jump up on his lap and say, I'm tired. He wants to do for us. Because faithful who calls you will also not do it. Huh? He will do it. But he needs our bodies to do it. Every spirit needs a body. And when we get into demonic possession and deliverance and those things, you have all power and authority to chase that garbage out of here. But you first got to get cleaned and get the garbage out of you. We have rights. We have privileges that only citizens of heaven have. No human government can cause us to forfeit those rights and privileges. None. Do you know what those rights and privileges are? This is no. This is yes. Do you know? If you do, why aren't you living it? Pastor, you're stepping on my toes. You need to step on Satan's head because that's where he's at. He's under your feet. And what this government is trying to do, Antichrist government, I don't care where it is in the world, what it is trying to do, it is trying to steal your rights or dupe you into giving them away. And that's what's at stake in this nation. This culture is giving away its rights for freedom. Freedom from responsibility. I am responsible for the upkeep and care of my brother and my sister. If they have a need and they come to me, what did Jesus say? Fare thee well. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said, if they need a cloak, give them two. They need something to eat, feed them. If they're in jail, go visit them. If they're sick, go pray on them, and they shall recover. These are the dynamics of the kingdom that are now starting to happen in streams. And you should have this excitement that God wants to use you. When we come here, it should be, what else am I going to learn today? I remember as a young believer in Jesus Christ, I used to go to my pastor, who was part of the Frozen Chosen. Forgive me. That's Presbyterians. And I would say to him, did you read this? I'm going to get a new body. Did you read this? And the people are looking at me like, what? What? Do you see this? It says, I'm going to speak in another language. But it wasn't happening there. I had to go out because I wanted God. And sometimes you must leave the desert of where you're at to go to an oasis to drink the water that He wants to give to you. And we need to leave this government behind. We need to separate ourselves from its bondages, its lies, its deception, and speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. And do our homework. Get people involved in government, whether it's how we've infiltrated through Parks and Recs and been able to begin to start working in those areas, to a place of putting godly men and women back into the government that fear God, that don't have a separate agenda. I don't have an agenda here. I have Christ's cause, His agenda only. And that is to raise you up to be that which He has called you to be, a most glorious church. Satan does not want us to do that. Satan thinks we're his property, we're chattel for him. He thinks that we should work to supply the government. And I'm not preaching here that we should not pay our taxes. I'm not saying we should just rebel against the government. I'm not proposing that. What I'm proposing is let's live for God. Let's live under His jurisdiction. Let's be the citizens of heaven. Let's prove to the world first that we can become this what Christ has called us for. Judgment starts in the house of God first. Why don't people come to church? Why don't young people come to church? Why? Why don't they come? I'm not young. I'm passionate about this. Why don't your friends come? They know about Jesus. They do. Don't ever believe that lie. The reason why they don't come is because they see the hypocrisy that we live by. We're all goody-two-shoes. Hey, brother, how you doing, man? You know, wonderful. And then we go out, and the car cuts us off in the street, and what do? We exhibit Jesus Christ, don't we? Oh, you're number one in my book, buddy. Bless you. See, they're stuck on the human side, the physical side. And the only thing that's going to change them is the power of God. And they need to see the power of God in His people first. You can't fake that. I remember one time we were having a service and the Holy Spirit was speaking about people getting prayed for, and I didn't even touch Nolan. And he was ejected six rows back. I didn't even touch him. I just... And you should have seen people get on their face. Becky, you were there. Everybody was on their face because you couldn't fake that. This was not television. This was the reality that I pray that God would have his church in these last days, that I would be able to see and be a part of. See, our job is not to take down government. Our job is to remove the harvest so it's not destroyed. That's our job. That's what you and I were commissioned for. And as we work in these areas, there are senators and government officials that need to get saved. Nancy Pelosi's one of them, and Harry Reid's another. But they've built their wealth at our expense. They've used government as their vehicle in which to get their hands into the till. That's not the way it is for the king. No socialistic, no fascist state, no hybrid central oligarchy will ever attain the knowledge or even the ability that is needed to achieve God-given freedom and what God-given freedom can achieve. Nothing except oppression, death, and failure. All liberty and freedom originates from God. They can't take that from us. We are free, whether they kill us or they don't kill us. Whether they take all our possessions, they burn our house down, they kill our kids. Is that enough for us to stop being a citizen of heaven? Shouldn't be. Because we're not of this world. We're ambassadors. Ambassadors own nothing in that country. We're foreigners. Everything we have is there. And what we're trying to do is bring heaven here to reveal to people how gracious God is. How awesome he is. Using all the gifts and talents that he's given to us that we may win some to his cause. Because all freedom comes from God, he has empowered us to walk by the Spirit. And those who are led by the Spirit are known as sons of God. You are empowered to become sons and daughters of God. If you don't have the power, all you are is a slave. Why do I say that? Slaves may live in the house and serve in the house, but they have no future. They have no security. Sons not only have family and security, they have one more thing. They have an inheritance waiting for them. And when the old passes away, the new comes in. You have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. You have a freedom that cannot be shackled. You are a people destined for awesome greatness and bring our King, our supreme King, glory and honor. If you're up for the task, then rise. Rise with me. If you're not up for the task, that's okay. You can stay there. I'm not offended, but I can't speak for my King. Say with me, I am a supernatural person. I have supernatural abilities. I have rights and privileges that cannot be revoked. Jesus has set me free to live his life. So that others would come into that freedom too. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray a blessing upon all your people today. I know, Father, when we talk about culture and antichrist structures and stuff, that may be a lot for us to digest. But God, let us not be duped into thinking that where we are is that's all it is. God, your church is being persecuted throughout the world. I pray, Father, and release blessings from heaven upon your people today to help their neighbors to be active in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bind that spirit of fear in Jesus' name and release a spirit of power and a boldness and a sound mind that this week, God, we would speak to one person and invite them to be a part of what God is doing. Lord, we thank you that you have equipped us to become fishers of men, forsaking all, God, and having all in you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.